This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Welcome to the Mom Room Podcast. My name is Renee Rina, and I am definitely the mom friend you have always wanted. All right. So this has taken us a long time to get this episode recorded. This episode is about Trevor Noah's book, which is called Born a Crime. It's basically the story of his life growing up in South Africa during apartheid. I was super interested to read this book because my husband is from South Africa. And so his parents and him, like, they kind of lived through similar things that Noah talks about. So it was interesting to read. And the thing that I kept thinking was, there's been lots of talk about racism, obviously, in 2020. And it was crazy to read about it, but in the sense that, like, it's the law. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember my husband's mom was telling me about a time where she used to work at like a healthcare building, or it was a hospital, and next to the hospital there was a public pool, and often Pri would be with her at work or like after work, and he would want to go in the pool and he wasn't allowed. Like, it broke her heart, because how do you explain that to a child that just sees all these kids having fun in the pool and he can't go in because he has dark skin?
Yeah. Did she write about this on your blog?
I don't know. I think I have talked about it before, but okay. She may have written about it as well.
Yeah. No, it's really, I mean, and we feel like maybe this is for an older generation, or this happened a long time ago, but no, we're talking about not so long ago. We're talking about the 80s and the 90s, and then all of the effects of, like, post-apartheid South Africa. Like, this is our generation, right? This is, like, even Trevor Noah is 1 year older than I am. And so I feel like when I was reading the book or listening to the audio version, I kept thinking about that. Like, this is not, you know, in the far past.
No,
this is literally our generation that lived through this and continues to live through this.
Yeah, that was going to be my question for you. I wasn't sure how old he was, but that makes sense. And a lot of people, like, someone wrote on the Facebook group how she watches him all the time on The Daily Show, and she would have never thought that was his life growing up.
Never.
Which is very, you know, when you look at him and you hear his comedy, like, you don't think that. And so I was really surprised to read about his whole life. There were some really funny parts in the book, like, hilarious. Oh, and we should say, a lot of people, when I chose this book for the book club, a lot of people told me, make sure you listen to the audio version and, like, instead of just reading a physical book. And so we both did that, because it's Trevor himself who narrates the book, and which makes it even funnier. He does all his family members' accents, and just the way he delivers things being a comedian made it super entertaining. But yeah, maybe we could talk about some funny parts first. And I know that
there's so many, it's so hard. Like you were saying, like, I actually have the physical copy sitting in front of me, cause I had ordered the physical copy. I have listened to very few audio books. I mean, I do like audio. I think that there's a place for it. And I think a lot of people, it's just easier to consume content. So I think that's great, but it's not my go-to by any means. But like you said, so many people are saying, you have to do the audio. And even for me, like, people are saying, like, listen to the audio. So glad I did. And so it's a bit hard for me. Sometimes I think, was it that funny because it was Trevor narrating it himself? So he did the accents of his mom, of his grandmother, and the different characters in the book. Would it have delivered the same way just reading it. Not sure. But yeah. For as sensitive as some of the topics in this book were, it was so funny and so entertaining. I zipped through it. I literally couldn't stop listening. I would take a bath and just put this on, or I'd go for a walk and put it on. It was so, so entertaining. So I highly recommend anybody to listen to the audio, even if you've read the book, to take the opportunity and listen to the audio. My all-time favorite, funniest part of the book is when he's pooping in the, he's pooping in the kitchen on a piece of newspaper.
And who was it? His grandma that was in the room, but she's blind.
Yeah, I think it's his great grandmother lived in he's at his grandmother's house, and so it's his great grandmother, and she's like blind, but still has all of her mental wits to her. So she's quite old in age, but. And so she didn't know who was in the house with her. She actually thought she was home alone. And Trevor didn't want to go use the outhouse because they didn't have an indoor bathroom. And it was raining and everyone else was out for the day. And so he thought he could get away with taking a poop on a piece of newspaper.
And then disposing of it.
And putting it in the garbage can, and then anyways, the whole scene, he sets it up, he delivers it perfectly. It just literally is for me, one of the funniest parts of the book, and very lighthearted, right? Because a lot of the subject matter he does talk about, racism and domestic abuse and apartheid in South Africa. And so, you know, a lot of the content is heavy. I learned a ton through reading this book. And so this is just one of those parts of the book, which was more lighthearted, funny. And I just literally laughed my way through this whole little, I don't know if it's a whole, probably not a whole chapter, but this whole section, I just was really.
Yeah. Same. So the funniest part for me was when him and his friends had that little kind of hip hop dance group. And they got asked, they used to go do little performances at, you know, parties or schools or events. And so they got invited to do a performance at a school, but they didn't know that it was a Jewish school, I think is what it was. Yeah. And he sets it up really well. And he explains how people in South Africa are named after different, high power people. They have their African name and then they have their European name, which is usually named after someone who had a lot of power or something. Do you remember him?
Or influence or a biblical name.
Okay, that's what it was. And so his European name was Hitler. And at first you're like, why? That is wild. And so you hear about him throughout the book on and off, and then they end up going to do, Hitler was the dancer in the group, he was the man to dance. And so they go and do this performance at a school, and they had no idea, they didn't know what the name Hitler even meant, right? That was the whole thing, they had no idea. So when they're
to take a step back, the history that they're taught in school is a different history that what we might learn in North America, Canadian history, American history, European history. We actually it makes you realize that depending on where you grow up, you're told a different or a different part of history, right? Yeah. So it's not necessarily that what you learn isn't true. It's just, it has a different focus or a different emphasis.
Yeah, 100%. So they couldn't figure out when it got to the dance portion of the performance, and the rest of the group was yelling, "Go Hitler, go Hitler," for him to dance. And Trevor he made it so funny because he was screaming that in the microphone as the DJ guy. And then obviously everyone was just staring at them dead silent, and teachers started to get upset and they had no idea what was wrong. And the way he, imagine listening to him doing stand-up comedy, that is what it was. And I was peeing my pants. It was such a good, it was so funny.
I agree. He delivers it with this really, so it's really funny how he delivers it. But at the same time, it's this powerful message of how they didn't grow up learning the same with the same emphasis that we would have within the US or Canada or within Europe.
Yeah.
In South Africa, they learned a different part of history and wasn't as focused on the Holocaust and the devastation that was. Mm-hmm. He's also making the point where, like, he thought that the girl at the school, like whoever was running, the lady who was running that program, he thought that she was being racist
to them. Yeah.
So it was like a complete misunderstanding of not understanding people's backgrounds, right?
Yep. And what people learn in school and just kind of having that, you know, like they were black, the school was white. And so they automatically assumed that they were being racist to them. But meanwhile, they were like, what are these kids doing yelling Hitler? So like complete, yeah, misunderstanding. And I don't even remember the point of the book where, like, I don't remember them like realizing why they were mad. I don't remember like that part of it or if they ever did.
They ever did because they left.
They ran away.
And I think, didn't they even run away like swearing at her or something?
Yeah.
Thinking like she was totally in the wrong. I don't think it was like really till like probably later in life where Trevor was like, well, remember that whole like.
Yeah.
Scenario? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. The part about naming I did actually find interesting because like even Trevor's mom purposely named him Trevor so that it would mean, oh yeah, because they had, I think people had three names. So they have their traditional like African name. Then they would have like their white name, which is often like named after like either biblical person or someone who was famous or had like a lot of power, mm-hmm. Which is why some people were named Hitler. And then you had your name that was based on your trait, remember, like, or your characteristics or, and his mom didn't want him to have a name that he then had to like live up to. So she just named him Trevor, which doesn't have like a biblical meaning or doesn't have like, it doesn't, you know, like some, like, what wasn't it? Like, I can't think of any of the characters in the book off the top of my head, but they had names that meant
like Abel was named, yeah, Abel,
which is a biblical name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, I thought that was, I'm not doing a good job of explaining it, but I thought it was interesting, like how he explained mm-hmm. the breakdown of their names.
Yeah. And it's time to give a shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode of The Mom Room and providing me with samples. Thank you, Claritin. Guys, I am starting to come to terms with the fact that I do suffer from allergies. I used to think, oh, I just have really bad sinuses. No, you have allergies. So let's talk a little bit about my symptoms. I wake up with not a stuffed nose, but like I have to blow my nose constantly. So it's like it's producing mucus and I have to keep blowing my nose. It's all itchy. The palate, like the roof of my mouth is itchy in the mornings and I'm trying to like scratch it with my tongue. It's really irritating. And the insides of my ears get itchy. It's one thing to have those symptoms when I'm just hanging out at home. But for example, yesterday I was at book club and my nose kept getting so tingly and itchy and I kept having to go to the bathroom to blow my nose. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. So if you're ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter or ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. This episode is brought to you by Little Spoon. I'm just going to be honest here. As a busy parent, it's important to keep your life simple and convenient, especially at mealtimes. Nobody ever told me how stressful mealtimes can be. Little Spoon is one way to help you do just that. Little Spoon delivers fresh, healthy meals and snacks straight to your door that your kiddo will love at every eating stage they are in. Their goal is simple. It's to keep your kid healthy, but also to make it the easiest part of your day so that you can cut through all the drama of mealtime without compromise. Little Spoon's baby blends are fresh, organic baby food from single ingredients to multi-textured purees to take the stress out of starting solids. Their biteables are transition-to-table early finger food meals that are cut to size to promote easy self-feeding with healthy, balanced foods that are free of artificial junk. Little Spoon's plates are for toddlers and big kids. They taste amazing, and even the pickiest eaters will love them. Think hidden veggie mac and cheese, chicken nuggets, and adventurous eats like pot stickers, gnocchi, and more. Little Spoon also offers smoothies, lunchers, and snacks. Did I mention it gets delivered right to your door? It is so flexible, so easy, and everything stores right in the fridge and freezer. You can check out the menu and change up what you order every single time. The price is right, the quality is unmatched, your kids will love it. It's a huge win-win for your family. So simplify your kiddos' mealtime with 30% off your first order. Go to littlespoon.com/momroom and enter our code MOMROOM at checkout to get 30% off your first Little Spoon order.
And then, so another part of the book that was pretty funny was when they stole the chocolates. It was like, what, the strip? It was like a strip mall or like a mall? Yeah.
Yeah. So this is probably my favorite chapter of the book for a few reasons. What is it called? It is called Colorblind. Yeah. I loved it. Like, it was entertaining again, because the whole book is kind of is entertaining. So this was where him and his really good friend would go to the mall, I think after school or whatever, and they would hang out, and they discovered that the mall would be open but the stores would close, and they discovered that they could sneak their hand in behind the metal gate and they could steal chocolates, and they would go for like the booze filled
yes
chocolate. So they did that a few times, and then one time they got caught by mall police, and so they got chased out of the mall, and him and his buddy like took different directions, and Trevor got away. His buddy gets caught, he doesn't. So the next day at school, Trevor gets called out of class to the principal's office, and I think the police were there and the principal. And they start asking him if he was with his friend or if he knew who his friend was with, because he got caught stealing. This is your best friend. You know, are you sure you weren't with him? And Trevor was denying. And then they bust out a videotape, and Trevor is thinking like, oh, okay, like now I'm done for. Like, not only am I going to get caught for stealing, but also for lying, because they've specifically asked me like, do you know what happened? Do you know who was with your friend? And he kept saying, no. And so they put on the videotape and they show him the footage of the two boys stealing the chocolate. And they say, do you know who is with your friend? And Trevor is like kind of stumped. Like, do I say, yeah, that's clearly me? Or like, is this a trick question? You know, like, do I say no? And so it turns out that the video footage, it's black and white, and it doesn't pick up the features of Trevor because he's mixed, right? Yeah. So it doesn't, the camera can't pick up his features properly. So the people who are questioning him, like, is this you on the video, don't realize that it's actually him.
Yeah. And I think part of it was because his friend was a lot darker than him. So in comparison to his friend, they thought it was a white kid.
Yes.
That was with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I remember that. That was interesting. And I don't think they ever found out that it was him, right?
No. Like, no. I mean, not that, I mean,
obviously, I mean, now they know.
But some, throughout the whole book, I kept thinking like, does he know he's like,
yeah,
impersonating himself? Obviously these like things you do when you're a teenager, whatever. But yeah, so I thought it was super interesting. And the whole time I was reading it, it reminded me of, you know, what's going on right now. When we're talking about facial recognition and everything that is wrong with the algorithms that we have right now, and where people, most in particular, let's say Black people, are being wrongfully accused of crimes that they don't commit, or the potential that they could be accused, because the systems that are set up for these facial recognitions are probably developed by white people, and there's not a lot of policies and regulations put in place on how we can you know, what regulations we're going to set in place before we start using some of this technology. And it's out there, and a lot of governments haven't had the opportunity, or maybe they had to have the opportunity, but they haven't yet put in place the proper regulations on how we use this.
Yeah.
And or whether we should even be using these technologies is a question.
Seriously. One thing I wanted to talk about that was super frustrating for me listening to it, and probably for you as well, was when his mom would call the police for like domestic abuse, domestic violence, and how they, like, the police came and treated the situation. That was enraging. Yeah. And basically what it was they show up and just completely side with the man and make comments like, oh, like she's bothering you again. Like, what did you do? Basically that it's acceptable for a husband to be abusive to his wife. And that was so frustrating because at the end of the book, you know, look what ended up happening. And you just think, like, it made me think about all the times that she had called the police because of violence, and every time it seemed to get like a little bit worse and they never did anything about it. And then he ended up shooting her, which was like, that whole end of the book was so, and I, to be honest, I wasn't expecting her to survive that situation. And it's unbelievable how she survived that, and how, like, huge spoiler alert if you haven't read the book, but you're supposed to read the book. So, but that was like so wild to hear that story.
Yeah. I totally agree. Like, where there's a lot of cases. So, you know what, just to also to take it back a step. So one of the things that was interesting about this book, which we talked about when we were both listening to it, and it's a little bit hard to wrap your head around at first, so maybe it's good if you haven't listened, again, spoiler alert, because we're talking all about it, but the book is not written in a chronological order. So Trevor does jump back and forth throughout the book. So you hear of the domestic abuse that his mom goes through throughout the entire book. Like, you know, literally from the get-go, when he's talking about his mom basically literally throws him out of a moving vehicle, and he blames the Volkswagen that they have for breaking down, which then that shitty Volkswagen also leads her into this relationship with Abel, who is the abusive husband. So you hear about it the whole way through the book. And it kind of goes in waves, I think, the abuse, right? Like, some periods are really good, and then it gets worse, and all of the different things that Trevor and his mom and his siblings go through. And like you were saying, so report it to the police, and the police do not take it seriously. And they just kind of, you kind of get the sense that it's like, oh, just a nagging woman, like, trying to get you in trouble again. But like, oh, we all know what that's like. Mm. And so this is building until the end of the book, where Abel, so his stepfather, literally is trying to kill his mom. And so, and it seems premeditative, right? Like, it's very aggressive. He shoots her multiple times and the gun misfires, like, just all of the circumstances around it. Like, she is literally incredibly lucky to be alive. The whole book, Trevor talks about how his mom is very religious and he's not. And so actually it was really funny, the dialogue that they often have about religion, where she's defending her religion and he's always questioning it. And it's very comedic. And Trevor, though, at the end of the book talks about like how there's no other real explanation for how she survived other than like, it's a miracle basically. Right. Because he shot her point blank in the head, and she survives. And again, I agree with you that this was just so hard to read, that this was someone's life for years of battling this kind of abuse and needing to protect your children, and how there was literally no help from the system in keeping her and her family safe. And because she had reported domestic abuse throughout the years, but he was never actually charged.
Yep.
He got a lesser sentence for trying to kill her because he, quote unquote, didn't have a criminal record.
Yeah. So frustrating. And I think he's out of jail now, eh?
Yeah. I think he just lives like a few blocks over. I think they all still live in the same town.
Like, unbelievable.
It was very, and you know, this is unfortunately not a one-off, right? Like, so Trevor gets to bring this to the spotlight because he's famous and a lot of people can read this memoir, if that's what you call this book. But this is not a one-off. This is not unique, unfortunately, right? Like, yeah. The violence against women is, I don't even have the words for it.
Prevalent.
This is not unique. And that's if women are even as strong as his mom for reporting it, right? Like, the one scene, there's two scenes that were very impactful in the book. I think the first time it happened, like, she literally took the boys and she walked to the police station, like, barefoot, like, in the middle of the night, nothing happened. And then there's the second scene where she's really standing up for herself. And Trevor's talking about in the background, he kept saying, like, mom, shut up. Like, stop talking. Cause he knew what was going to keep happening. And she still keeps.
That was so stressful,
it's a very, very visual scene. There's no actual visual graphics, but the way he describes it, like, you just feel like you're in that moment. Like, I remember I was out for a walk on the path and I had stopped walking because I couldn't focus on walking and listening because it was so intense that I was like, he's just describing the situation. He's a young boy. And I don't know if one of his brothers was there or both of his younger siblings were there, but it's just so, this whole scene is so traumatic. And again, keep thinking, like, this is the reality for so many women.
Yeah. And kids.
And
yeah,
it's just brutal.
This episode is brought to you by Magic Spoon. You guys know I have been very intentional with what we've been eating lately. I'm looking at protein, I'm looking at sugar content, and avoiding things like artificial ingredients or colorings. Milo used to always want pancakes or waffles in the mornings, and now he is getting into cereal, and I'm so excited because Magic Spoon is the perfect option. Their variety pack has 4 flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. They have 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 to 5 grams of carbs per serving. They're made with wholesome ingredients, no artificial flavors or dyes, and I'm just so happy that he's getting a good amount of protein before he goes off to school. And it's a great snack for me and my husband too, because 13 to 14 grams of protein in the cereal, now you add a high protein milk, you're set. That is such a high protein snack or meal. I should also mention that it is gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. So go to magicspoon.com/momroom to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code MOMROOM at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. So try a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon cereal today at magicspoon.com/momroom and use the code MOMROOM to save $5. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
So we highly recommend this book, highly recommend listening to the audio. One part just quickly that made me think about growing up, like we said, he's only a year older than us, was when he was talking, remember when he got into like the burning CDs and like making mixtape CDs and stuff. I was like, oh my God, this was my life. So yeah, that was so funny.
Yeah. So it's funny. Like I think you alluded to it at the beginning where someone was saying like, you know Trevor Noah because he's famous and you see him on
TV
or social media, and you forget or you don't realize how, like, he's lived 10 lives. Mm-hmm. So he speaks multiple languages, which has got him to where he is, literally like saved his life on multiple occasions. He was talking about, so when he was in prison, this big guy comes into the prison cell with them and he's intimidating at first, but Trevor speaks a few different languages and so happened to speak the language that this big tough guy spoke, and so they became friends. And this big super, like, he described him as a Black Hulk, I believe. So like this big, like super intimidating guy.
And Trevor ends up just explaining that he's like, you know, a super nice guy. He's like a teddy bear. And it's just been, you know, as soon as apartheid ended, he was basically enforced in slavery during apartheid. And so had some kind of a wage. And then once apartheid ended, then really was left to figure things out for himself. So he's an unskilled, like uneducated, or I shouldn't say unskilled, but like didn't necessarily have job skills to get him a job and didn't have education skills. And so he's just like left to do whatever he can to get by for himself and to provide for his family. And so every few years he would kind of end up in jail and then he would be released because he would do whatever he could to be able to provide for his family. And so it's just eye-opening in the sense that it's like the struggles that a whole country of people go through and are continuing to go through, and the rest of the world kind of turns an eye to it.
Yeah.
You know,
and again, there's not like, you can't even do anything about it because at that time, like it was the law. Yeah. How must that feel to know that even like the police, the government, the like nobody is going to help you because that is the law.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
And then once it ended, there was not necessarily a support system put in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All these things that we're talking about, like this is why my husband's family is in Canada now. His mom was really, she was like the top of her class for, she's like a radiation tech. And is that what it is? Radiation tech?
Radiologist?
Anyways, something in the healthcare system. And she was really good at her job, but she knew that she would never in South Africa move up in her position because of her skin color, which is wild to think. So...
And we're talking what, late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah. Yeah. So when, yeah, because they moved here, I think my husband was 6 or 8 years old. So yeah, he was born in 85. So that's why they, when she was offered the opportunity in Canada, she like took it right away. And within, you know, a couple years, she was like the lead of the entire department in Canada, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Cause there she knew like, you know, base level entry is where I'm going to stay just because of my skin color.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah.
Well, yeah. And the title of this book is literally Born a Crime because yeah. Trevor Noah was, it was illegal when he was born to be born of a black mother and a white father. Mm-hmm. It meant that his birth was literally illegal.
And considering that that was not very long ago,
1984.
Yeah. Like I think about, like I am white, Pri is not. So if we went there, like technically Milo is, you know, born a crime if we're talking in that.
In that era.
In that era. Yeah. Yeah. In South Africa.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. But then I often think like his family all still lives there. If we went and visited, does the society still have that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Those thoughts. Because, yeah. I mean, even in Canada and in the US and wherever, you hear about issues that biracial couples have. Like, we haven't experienced that much ourselves, but, you know, it is something that you think about. And so I often think about that. Like, if we went and visited there, like, is it going to be obvious that people still hold these thoughts, right?
Yeah.
Because that was part of their, that was part of how they lived. That was like the law, which.
But I think it's also like, so yes, I think in South Africa and in regards to this book, like Trevor Noah talks a lot about how, so he's mixed and he never felt like he fit in terms like, he would always, if he went to a new school or the time he was in prison, like he would have to make that choice. Like, do I hang out with the black kids who I more identify with, mm-hmm. or do I hang out with
the white kids who I probably look more like. It was constantly this battle. And then he would also talk about how he would get different privileges because he was lighter skinned. And yeah. So his grandmother wouldn't beat him the same way that she would beat his cousins, let's say, because he was lighter skinned, or at funerals, even of people he didn't know, he would sometimes be invited into the family home to sit with the family because he was considered more privileged because he was mixed. So I think that was interesting.
That was so interesting. And it reminded me of when we read Ibram X. Kendi's book, when he talked about the racism within, the Black community, or within how it's not just white and then Black and Black and white. It's there's racism within the Black community as well.
Yeah. Or in adoption processes, Ibram X. Kendi was talking about that, where it's the darker you are, the less likely you are to be adopted, or the darker you are, the more likely you're going to be imprisoned, or it is, we have a ton of work to do as our society and for all of us. And that's why, I think it's great that we get to have these, or we are having these conversations as two super privileged white females, right? We need to continue to have these conversations, to continue to learn and to continue to push the boundaries. Because when you were saying if you went to South Africa today, would your family, experience some of these, some of what you were describing? And I think whether you go to South Africa or not, I think unfortunately no matter where you go, this is an issue. Mm-hmm. So this is true within Canada. This is true within Europe. This is true obviously within the United States. I think that basically everywhere you go, we all have a ton of work to do to become anti-racist and to continue to push the boundaries, and to talk about to have these uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring it, you can decide to keep this in or not, but I'm not one to necessarily follow the royal gossip, but last week or a week ago, Meghan Markle was bringing up her experience within in the UK, within the royal family, and the questions around the color of how dark her child or her son Archie's skin was going to be when he was born, and questioning some of the protocols that were put in place that might have been there because she is Black. And so it's this is 2021 and we are still having these conversations, and there is still so much room, so many areas where we need to improve on as a society. Every day
I didn't see that interview with Oprah, but I really want to see it. But it's nice when these high profile people share their experience with things like this. And it's interesting because everybody is shocked. And it's we've been talking about, this has been a huge topic for the last, since last year, at least. It has really been amplified and talked about. So why is everybody shocked?
Or I think it's easy to be shocked. It's hard to do the work. And so we can continue to talk about it. But for organizations and institutions and countries we need to do better at doing the work. So we keep having conversations, but then the action isn't necessarily there. So people continue to be shocked because we're not actually seeing the change.
Mm-hmm.
And so conversations are easily forgotten. So even last year in June, when people put their Black square on their social media accounts, what action has been done since then, right? And so that's where the real change will happen. And that's when we should be shocked by these things. Unfortunately, sometimes I feel like I'm not shocked because we're not really making the progress that I think that we should be making. This should be super shocking and it should incite change. And so I hope that again, the world was talking about that interview with Oprah for a week. A week later, are we still talking about it? Mm-hmm. And what is the action that we're going to take from that?
Yeah, I think part of me is like, people are shocked, but would they be shocked to know that this is probably going on in your workplace like all the time? Do you know right. what I mean? Yep. It's like, just because it's a high profile person and it's the royal family, it's, you know, the front page of every single newspaper. And it's like, no, this is probably happening all the time.
It definitely is. Yeah. Organizations have a lot of work to do in terms of making sure that they have the representation at their board tables, I think. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we can talk forever, but I'm going to end the recording now. So bottom line is, we highly recommend this book. And I will say, even though it's like mid-March now, March's book is 13 Doors by Aaron Wright. It is so good. I'm like 3/4 of the way done. I need to get through it. His podcast episode is actually coming out April 2nd. It was a really good conversation with him. And then April's book is Love Sense by Dr. Sue Johnson. Johnson? Yeah.
Dr. Sue, if you're
from Canada. I know. I always want to say Johansson, like, you know, a Scarlett Johansson, but no, Sue Johnson, such a good book. If you're in a romantic relationship or you plan on ever being in one, highly recommend.
I'm excited.
So we will end it there. Thanks, Jen.
Anytime.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.